Well, today we're going to continue our study. We've been looking at the compassion of Jesus, specifically looking at the Gospel of St. Luke. Today we're going to be looking at study number 5 in the book, if you have one, if you've been following along. If you don't have the book, we do put everything up here on the slide just for your convenience. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus, the healer and life giver. And that's who Jesus is. And me and you, all of us as Pentecostals, believe that Jesus is not only the healer then, or was not only the healer then, he's still a healer today. And so Jesus is the healer and the life giver. And today, actually, we're going to have Brother Jaime is going to be teaching the lesson for us today. And so as he comes up, I want you all to give him a good round of applause. Thank God for those that are willing to teach. Amen. So he's going to do it today, and Lord willing, as we move along, we'll continue gaining a greater understanding of God's beautiful truth from his word. Amen? Amen. Brother Jaime.
Use that. Thank you. Good morning. Well, as always, I'm nervous.
That's okay.
Especially now, because Pastor's here.
That's okay.
So, like Pastor said, the lesson for today is Jesus, healer, and life giver. So let's open in prayer, and we continue with the lesson.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Pedimos, Señor, que seas tú, Padre. Que vengan este día, Señor, y hable, Señor, a tu siervo, Señor. Que seas tú, Señor, que las palabras que salgan, Señor, de esta lectura, Señor, que seas tú quien.
Thank you, Jesus.
Señor, nos enseñe, Señor, y que nos hable, Padre.
Yes.
Señor, te pedimos por este día, Señor. Ayúdanos, Señor, a estar aquí y recibir tu palabra, Señor, en tu nombre, Señor Jesucristo.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so as we continue the studies here, I would like to open with saying, you know, every time that we have a problem or that we come across a problem, what is the first inclination? Personally, what is your first inclination when you come up with a problem? What do you guys what do you guys do? Okay. Anybody else?
Sometimes we try to figure it out, try to figure out what's going on.
Sometimes we try to figure out ourselves, right? We try to, what's going on? Why am I going to do this? If it's financially, well, I got to work more hours, right? Mm-hmm. If I need money, well, what can I sell so I can make the money, right? We incline on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
If it's health issues, of course, we go to the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find out what's going on. I'm not saying that it's wrong. It's not. That's what doctors are there for.
Yeah.
But I think that, especially as Christians, our first inclination should be God,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm just going to read this right here. It says, when people have problems, the first inclination is often to seek our own solutions apart from God.
Mm-hmm.
During a financial problem, one might resolve to work harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
When burdened or by stress, what do you do? Oh, maybe a vacation would help, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you try to look for a vacation somewhere there that you can go. You know, if sickness come around, surely you look for medicines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get well. However, you know, there are times when problems become devastating. The situation seems hopeless. As all human answers are ineffective. You know, whatever we do, sometimes it's ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're seeking our own solutions. We're looking for our own answers to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
In today's lessons, our focus, you know, is aimed at crisis. Jesus offered a compassionate response to provide miraculous answers. In doing so, he encourages us to reach out and love as well.
Amen.
Believing in him to do the miraculous today.
You
know,
amen.
Like Pastor says, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
Right. So, Jesus healed before. Jesus will heal now, and Jesus will heal forever.
Amen.
He's the life giver. To open up, we're gonna read the story in Luke. So if we open our Bibles in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. And can somebody read from verse 42? I believe it's 44.
So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a certain man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood. Keep going.
Yes, sorry.
I forgot where to start. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped.
So as Brother Gary read here, we can see those two things happening at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back. Okay, I want to go back a little bit to from last week's and past week's lessons. We remember that Jesus was crossing the river, right,
mm-hmm.
with his disciples, and what happened? A storm came, right? He calmed the storm, right?
Mm-hmm.
He rebuked the storm. And then we also read here that as soon as he stepped ashore, there was a demon-possessed man, right?
Yeah.
And there was it says here in the scripture that there was a lot of people there, and they saw what happened,
mm-hmm.
how Jesus rebuked this demon household and took him out of this man.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a several events happening.
Yeah.
People started hearing what's going on. That's why all this multitude was there waiting for him, right? So when this, the Bible says that it doesn't say if it was the hours later, how many hours passed between, but as soon as the man was cured from this demon, they got back in the boat,
mm-hmm.
went back to Galilee,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm assuming that by that time, the Lord just spread out more, you know, this is happening. So they arrived. And they returned, and a crowd was already welcoming. A crowd was already there waiting for him.
Oh, yeah.
And if we read in the story, and I actually did some research on this, like I was taught in school. And back then, and the streets were very narrow,
mm-hmm.
right? Very narrow. Yeah. And you can see in the scriptures when it reads that, well, Jesus arrived there, and he was walking by. People were crowding him. People were pushing him. People were next to him. There was no room for him to walk by. There was
mm-hmm.
no place for him to walk. And as they were walking, well, as soon as he got there, this leader, right? What was his name?
Jairus,
okay. Came to Jesus, and he fell on his feet. He was asking him to go to his house because his daughter was sick, right? His daughter
mm-hmm.
was dying. So his disciples like, let's go, you know, let's do this. It's going to take us a while to get through this, so we need to hurry up and go there,
mm-hmm.
you know, as you read the story. But on their way, with all these people pushing him and bumping into him, then all of a sudden, somebody touched Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would say, well, a lot of people was touching him, yeah. And he said himself, stop, somebody, who touched me? And I can see his disciples looking at each other like, what's this guy talking about?
Yeah.
Right? What is he? I mean, they told him, Jesus, a lot of people is touching me. A lot of people is here. How can you say who's touching me? But Jesus knew. I mean, we know that he is the Almighty God, right?
Yes.
Mighty God. So he felt this, as it says in the scriptures, he felt the power coming out of him when
yeah.
this happened, when these women touched him. And so who was the woman? Anybody? We just read it a little bit right there. Who was this woman that touched Jesus?
She was sick. The sick woman?
She was sick. Yeah. The sick woman. Someone that they claim as unclean, right?
Yeah.
And if we look and we look at her, an unclean woman can be, you know, anything from somebody that had given birth, you know, like it says in Leviticus, a variety of skin diseases, right? Could contain certain functions of the body, contain touching a dead body, eating an animal that is unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be different things, right? But as we read the scripture right here, we know that this lady was bleeding for 12 years, right? It is a, what we call it, as they describe it there as a hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
So am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and I think we all know what that means. I don't think I need to go into a definition there, right? So she knew she wanted, she can be around these people, right? Because according to the story back then, if you're unclean, you can't be in your house. You need to be kind of like away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody that touch somebody unclean become unclean.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're reading. And that's what the beliefs were.
Yeah.
So when she knew that Jesus was coming and the crowd was there, she didn't want nobody to find out that she was there.
Mm-hmm.
So she made her way through the crowd to touch Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And she believed that if I just touch Jesus, I'll be, you know, healed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, reading the story is like, and just in my mind thinking about, you know, all this crowd there, how can she go unnoticed through all these people and nobody even noticed what's going on? And as soon as she touched the, it says in the scripture, as soon as she touched the garment of Jesus, she was healed. And at that same time, Jesus felt the power coming out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way, she was trying to leave without anybody noticing, right? But Jesus stopped and was like, who touched me?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the disciples are like, Jesus, this is a multitude here. How can you say who touched me when everybody's, you know, bumping each other? So at that moment, the woman, you know, realized that she can't leave unnoticed. And so she came to him. You know, she came to him and it's like, and then Jesus started talking to her. So why do you think that Jesus didn't want to let this happen and to go unnoticed? Anybody? What do you think that Jesus could say, you know, he knows everything, right? He knows everything. So he knows who would have touched him, why he would have touched him. But why do you think that Jesus didn't want this to go unnoticed? Any ideas?
Just an example of showing faith.
Okay. Anybody else?
Like a testimony of her faith.
Yeah. So, right here, when I was reading, it says that Jesus didn't want for it to believe that it was a magic, or it was something that just, you know, they want to make sure that they knew that Jesus was a healer, right?
That's right, yeah.
That it was some big miracle happening through him. And it was her faith, pretty much, her faith who healed her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believing that if I just do this, this is going to happen. So I just want to do something really fast. So I need four people. Pastor, I'll have you. Brother Pedro, Brother Gary, and then Brother Raiders. Come on. So I'll have you here in the front. Okay, facing that way. And then most of you, rest of you, come here in the back. Okay, so as Jesus was walking the crowd, right? And we have all this multitude, which is all them right here. Okay? And you're looking forward. Okay? So we're going to test this. We're going to have one of them, that brother, okay? And you, it's only three people, so it's not like it's a multitude. So you should be able to say, who did it, right? So we're going to touch him? All right, turn back and you can tell us who did it.
Look at the eyes. Let's see, brother Pedro.
Oh, I think that was a lucky guess, right?
Was it him?
All right, let's do it again. All right, so we're going to do it this time. Okay, we're going to do it again. Go ahead.
All right. So I got to see. Let's see. Patrick. Was it?
Oh, okay. I know he's a man of God, but come on. All right, let's do it. I think he's ruined my soul here. I guess three is better than multitude, right? He gets two out of three. That's pretty good. But just imagine, you know, you have not three people.
Yeah.
You know, you have, let's say that you're coming into center and the whole town of center is coming in to greet you. You know? And then you have your friends, you have your family, and you're trying to get through.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to the basketball games, okay, you drink after the game, you're trying to get out, and all these people are just walking, trying to get out, right? People are pushing, people are bumping into you, and then sometimes Azariah comes and, you know, pulls my shirt or my jacket, and I turn around and I look at the other people, like, and then it's Azariah, right? I don't know who is that. But I just kind of, when I was reading the story, I looked through it, and like, how could he knew that, you know? And he knew that, but he still asked, you know, who touched me?
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on here, at the same time that all this is happening, we can't forget that the main thing, where were they heading, right? They were heading to the house of Jairus,
mm-hmm,
to heal a sick girl, right? Mm-hmm. Or a girl that was dying. So I can imagine as he was walking by and all this happening and they're trying to hurry to this place, and Jairus is like, come on, we gotta go. And as he stops and says, who touched me? And he's trying to find out what's going on. Jairus is like, you know, desperate, right? When your kids are sick and they're like real sick and you're trying to get to the hospital, you're just trying to grab everything that you can and let's go, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not planning, you're like, okay, we need this, okay, we need that. It's kind of like, let's go, right? Mm-hmm. So I can imagine Jairus at that moment. I'm sorry?
80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I can imagine Jairus like, Jesus, come on, I was here first, you know? My daughter is dying. Let's move it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Jesus stopped. And he still wanted to find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the one to touch him? And we can read there that... that as they find out and they talk, and the woman came in front of Jesus. Jesus talked to her, and what did he say?
Your faith has healed you.
Your faith has healed you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just the statement. Your faith has healed you. How many times have we gotten to a situation? I personally have gone to some situations where I pray, God, you know, this is in your hands. I'll give it up to you. But nevertheless, behind me, I'm like, what do I need to do? What do I got to do? What is this? My faith, yeah, I know God is going to heal, but my faith is like still not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not quite there yet. I'm still looking for my own solution. What else can I do? You know, I know Jesus is going to do it, but what can I do to kind of like make it faster? Yeah,
there you go.
You know,
yeah.
To make it happen faster. So I think this is kind of like what was happening here with Jairus, you know? And why do I say that? Because as we continue reading the story, in the story it says that he already had people prepared at his house, called the mourners,
mm-hmm,
you know? And if we look at mourners, I don't know what that was, so I had to look it up, like, what are mourners? So those people that were ready, preparing, you know, when people passed away, they were preparing the body. They were singing, they were
mm-hmm
praying, crying, whatever they were supposed to do. So he knew that if he went to Jesus, he could do something because he heard all these miracles that he's been doing. Mm-hmm. He knew, you know. So in his mind, he's like, I'm going to go to him. Maybe he can help me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he can help my daughter. But inside of him, he knew I still had to prepare for the worst. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to prepare for because this could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So his faith was not quite... I think his faith was kind of like odd sometimes. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not saying that you all the time, but I'm telling me. Sometimes mm-hmm. my faith is this way. And I pray to God, you know, help me have the faith. 100%, 120%, like what do you want to practice, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to push 120%, not 100%. It's always 120%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you can push more. But, so, I think Jesus knew this. So, he was in the situation, he pushed back. And I think he was testing Jairus, you know.
Mm.
I need to have this because I need to show what's going on. So as Jesus was there saying, you know, woman, go, your faith has healed you. And as this is happening, then, you know, the people from Jairus, from where they were at his house, they came to him. And right here it says on... let me see. Okay, on chapter or verse 49. Somebody want to read it?
While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.
And I keep reading to 51, please.
But when Jesus heard it, he answered to the saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl.
So as he was telling this to the woman that got healed, right, we can read here that these people came and said, hey, your daughter's dead.
Mm.
And so I can imagine what he had felt, you know, right? I mean, I would say, hey, I was here first, and then you stop and take care of this, and then now my daughter's dead, right? As humans, I think that's the first reaction. So I can imagine how he was going through. But Jesus is like, do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, I look at it as this was a test for him to say, you know, yeah, you came to me, but your faith still not believe mm-hmm. that I can do this. So in my eyes, in my mind, I think that just needed this to happen so they can see his glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can see what he was. And not only that, but because he wanted, just like the woman, you know, her faith. It was all about faith that day, I think. Her faith was more than anything there. And Jairus, yeah, he went for the help, but his faith was not there.
Mm.
So they continue on their, you know, to their house. And like it says right here in the scriptures, that there was only certain people that he allowed to go in, right? Mm-hmm. And I was reading there because there was a lot of people that that were scoffers that did not believe that, that it was just their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just trying to see, make something out of nothing. Or, you know, we have those people that we sometimes make a story bigger than what it is, or not even the story that it is, right? And I think that's everywhere. So as I was reading there, it says that that's what, there was a lot of people there that shouldn't be there and shouldn't be able to see this. So he only allowed Peter, and the mom and the dad,
mm-hmm.
right? And as he walked in, of course, everybody was inside already. They were crying, you know, they were mourning, like, is that the word that mm-hmm. I pronounced it right?
Yeah, mourning.
So, and he said, what did he say? Why are you guys crying? She's just sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can imagine when the scripture says that, they started laughing, right? I mean, how can you be crying? And then when he says that, all of a sudden, like, whoa, this guy says sleeping, we're being here with her, and she's been dead, right? So they started laughing, and all Jesus did is drop her hand, says, wake up,
get up.
And she woke up. It says that the spirit came back to her.
Mm-hmm.
It says the right here on chapter 52, I'm going to read, meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She's not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up.
Mm-hmm.
Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone of what had happened.
Mm.
Right? So just like I said, I mean, all these people that are there, and they know that she's dead. They were there when she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Jesus comes and tells them, why are you guys crying? She's not dead, she's asleep. So I can see the reaction, like, I don't know. And that's the reason why a lot of people did not come in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he did not allow to come in. For the same reason, because they unbelief. They didn't believe. So sometimes when we pray for sick, sometimes when we pray for those people that are in the hospital, sometimes when we know that Jesus is healer,
mm-hmm.
and we know that Jesus is great, but yet sometimes we still doubt. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we still, our faith is like, oh, I know we can do it. But our doubt, nevertheless, is still there.
Mm.
So I think that Jesus delays all these, not because he doesn't have time for us, not because it's something hard for him to do, because he's waiting for us.
Mm.
He's waiting for our faith to be there. Not just say, yeah, I know that you can do it, Jesus. I know that you can do it, God. But our faith is not there.
Mm.
So he's not delaying for the reasons that he can't do it or that he has other things to do. Sometimes he's just waiting for us
yeah.
to really, our faith to be there. And I think that as I read this, I think that's exactly what it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been saying, you know, I know that Jairus went over there asking for Jesus to help him,
mm-hmm.
but his faith was still not there because he still hired all these people to be there waiting for her death. So all the delay with the woman and the crowds and all that, that's what Jesus knew the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew exactly what was happening. And all this happened just to test his faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got there, same thing with the people inside.
Right. Yeah.
When he told them, why are you guys crying? She's just asleep. Knowing that she was dead, but their faith still like, this guy's not going to do nothing about it.
Mm.
So, Jesus woke her up, right?
Mm-hmm.
She told her, wake up. Alright, so I have another question here for you that, let me find it. And I know my sermon's not as big as Pastor's, so I'm going to leave like the last 20 minutes for him to finish. I can't find it now.
Good, because I have some questions.
One of the questions here says, why do you think Jesus specifically told Jairus to fear not? What kind of fears do you think Jairus was feeling at that time when they went and told him, hey, your daughter has passed away, do not bother the master anymore?
He had just heard that his daughter had died. And so, and part of that was, so don't bother the master, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so there's that distinction between someone that's alive that needs healing and someone that's too far gone,
mm.
that's dead. At least too far gone according to what he was told.
Mm-hmm.
And probably that was his first instinct as well,
mm-hmm.
was that, oh no, we're too late.
Right. And then that's exactly where it comes to about our faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knew that he could probably heal her, but he didn't know that he didn't believe that he could probably risk from death, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, before it's too late, we need to do this. So when he got the word of that has passed away, I can't imagine where her fear, her faith went, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing we can do now.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. So that's when Jesus saw it, didn't feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He knew exactly, he was testing his faith, and he knew where he was standing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read this here. And it says, after healing the sick woman, Jesus accompanied Jairus to the place of the deceased daughter. Unlike the public healing of the woman, you know, like he healed the woman in public, however, Jesus left the crowd at the door. I think we talk about this where he left everybody outside,
yeah.
right? Allowing only his inner circle, Peter, James, and John,
mm-hmm.
as well as the girl's parents, to enter. This young girl would not be resurrected before a, and I don't know this word, so if I say it wrong, please correct me. Gawking? How do you say that?
Gawking?
Hawking?
Gawking?
Gawking?
Uh-huh.
What is that?
Yeah.
Gawking crowd.
Like, they're mocking.
The onlookers will know soon enough what Jesus had done. Okay? So it wasn't like the woman, when he healed the woman, that it was in public, you know, everybody was looking, everybody was there to see what happened, right? This was more like an enclosed door.
Mm-hmm.
Just to the people that were there in unbelief, you know, for mm-hmm. their faith to grow. And then it also says here that it reminds us that a custom of professional murderers was at work here. So, like I said, they were already working there. They were already
yeah.
expecting her to die. They were already there preparing for
mm-hmm.
her death. I just think of as Christians, our first inclination should be towards God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever the situation is, whether it's financially, whether it's health, whether it's family, work, I'm learning to do and put God first
mm-hmm.
and to really, really trust and have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And not like I used to do before, where I'm going through this, help me. My faith is in you. But then I go like, hey, I need to find a job. I need to find an extra thing to do so I can make the money, so I can pay this or pay that. Or I don't know. It's just, you know, as humans, we are used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Put matters into our hands. You know, if I don't do this, then we won't have that. If I don't do this, then this won't happen. Instead of having God to do it for us
mm-hmm.
and put our faith in Him, to that He's going to come through and He's going to save us
mm-hmm.
And help us.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everybody, and I know because I'm going through this too. I'm going through this. I'm learning a lot of things of how to, you know, put my trust in God. And yeah, sometimes, you know, like we say, it's easier to say than done.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that when I really trust God, whether it's financially, whether it's something that I've happened, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You help me, and you're a great savior.
Thank you. But I think God does that. You know, He puts people in our lives. He puts things in our lives to happen for our faith to change.
Definitely.
For our faith to get to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And to make things happen. And not make things happen for our done, for what we do, but because He did it. Because
mm-hmm.
He's going to be there to help us.
Amen.
So I don't know if you guys have a pen or a pencil, but there's some scriptures that I want to give you. And I know we have busy lives during the week. I understand we all do. But I think, if we just sit down, I know I read my Bible every morning before I go to work. or do whatever I need to do. I try to read a whole chapter if I can. But this scripture here refers to what we talked about this Sunday. So on Monday, you know, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So no slacking. Okay, I get to it. So on Monday,
Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy?
What is it?
Deuteronomy?
That one. 24:10 to 22.
Deuteronomy.
I can't say that. My tongue is kind of... chapter 24, 10 to 22. And then Tuesday, 2 of Kings, chapter 4, verses 17 to 21, and 32 to 37. Wednesday, 2 Kings, chapter 5, 1 through 14. Thursday, Mark 5, 25 to 34. Friday, Mark 5, 35 to 43. And then Saturday, John 4, 46 to 54. And so I'm going to pass the mic back to Pastor so he can finish and maybe cover some things that I missed if I missed it, or maybe talk more like he does. It's more, you know, he can touch those subjects a little more. I ask you to pray for me. Like I've been saying, you know, this is something that I never thought about that I was going to be doing. This is the last thing I was going to be doing. But if this is where God wants me, then this is what I'm going to do for His glory.
Amen.
Not for me, but for Him.
Amen.
And that's one of the things that I was trying to make you understand, that sometimes our plans is different than what God plans for us.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we like it or not, if we put our faith in Him, He's going to walk us through. He's going to put us there, and He's going to make the path for us to get there. And it seems like, where did this come from? You know, why is this happening? Jesus has the answers, and He knows what's best for us.
Amen.
And so we just have to put our trust on Him and go forward.
Amen.
Let Him move things around.
Amen.
And so, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jaime.
These two stories are told by Mark as well. Mm-hmm. And as you talk about faith, Mark spells things out. Well, Luke usually does, but I like Mark's story a little bit better, his version a little bit better. But the woman that came to be healed, to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, she had a childlike faith. It doesn't say if she was a Jewess or a Gentile. It doesn't give any information about her except for the physicians had abused her and taken her money and left her still worse off than she was in the beginning. But she exhibited this childlike faith. And Mark says it like this. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I may be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So I listed five things here, and put them in order. So first, she heard about Jesus. That every one of us is in that position at some point in our lives. Mm. We hear about Jesus. But then, what do you do about it? Well, she made a statement of faith. She said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well."
Mm.
So she expressed her faith. She heard.
She knew right then.
She believed. She said her statement. She made a statement of faith. And then she came. She came to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then she touched him.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, the order that each one of us comes to Jesus and approaches him and healed or saved or our finances are healed or whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
With Jairus, it's a little different because Jesus needed to overcome fear, which is really the opposite end of the spectrum. It's you either have great fear, which is faith in the devil, in the world, in bad things. You know, the glass is half empty.
Yeah.
Or you have faith, which is the other end of the spectrum, which is then faith in God, faith in his kingdom, faith in his love for you and his willingness to work, to act on your behalf. And so the glass is half full then. But Jesus had to overcome that fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he put the crowd out. That's why he only let certain ones in. And because he had to separate the faithful and the fearful.
The unbelieving, yeah.
And then when he did that, then it was the faith of Jesus was unhindered by fear. And he was able for them to raise the girl from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you know, it's that simple. It's, we all hear about it, so we got to make a declaration of faith,
mm-hmm.
right? We have to go to Jesus, right? And we have to accept that we're healed.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's easier to say than to done and to get it done.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we have to work on those things and make these declarations of faith that we have the healer and we have the Jesus that can do everything. And so,
and
yeah.
It wants to do everything.
Wants
yeah,
to do everything.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Be our friend, our companion, our healer, our caregiver, our. And someday he'll raise us from the dead.
Yeah. And that's very important, right? Thank you, Brother Jaime. Give Brother Jaime a round of applause there. Thank you so much for your willingness to teach and to do what you've done today. You know, we've all got to start somewhere. Isn't that right? And so thank you for your willingness to do that. But, Brother Pedro, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say about a thing where, can you imagine all the people that saw him, even the 12 disciples, they were there when he's after miracle, and they still, their faith wasn't there. They're always, as humans, they were
mm-hmm.
always worried about something.
Mm-hmm.
We talked since the beginning of the Bible how everybody went short.
Mm.
You know, how everybody tried to do their own things.
Yeah.
No matter what, even when they not they saw him, they heard him, you know, literally I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And us, we never saw him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as humans, that's humanity.
Yeah, it really is.
And another thing too is that I have when I pray, I always hear about pray with faith and faith and it will happen. But I also read in the Bible that John was praying God to take the splinter out of my eye.
Uh-huh.
But he denied him that request.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also know Jesus was praying that for him to not to be crucified. And
mm-hmm.
yet he said, you know, but not my will, but your will.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I pray, you know, it's not my will, it's his will.
Yeah.
And how do I do that? Sometimes it's not that I doubt that it's not
mm-hmm.
going to be done, but I know if it's his will, it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
It may be done or not.
Yeah. Well, all of us are confronted with those situations. Have you ever been there before? You're at an impossible situation, and we need faith. It's like Brother Gary said, faith is going to be something that we believe in, but then it's also that we're going to act upon, like this woman that had the issue of blood. She didn't just say, I believe he's going to heal me, and stay home. You know, she didn't stay there wondering about it, but she actually said, well, let me go. And then the issue was there, that she pressed through a big crowd. She made the point to get all the way through that. So she had faith to believe, if I could just touch him, if I could just literally touch him, then if I do, he will heal me. And it's an amazing story, because Jesus really never touched her, did he? But she touched him. She touched the hem of the garment, and boom, all of a sudden, I mean, can you imagine? She knew her body. We all know our bodies. If we have a headache, or if we have a pain in our ankle, or whatever, we know our bodies. And so immediately, she knew in her body that this whole issue of blood was dried up, this hemorrhage, whatever we want to call it, but it was dried up. But we face those situations, like Brother Feather has mentioned, and there are times when we have unbelief. And that's our humanity. That's our fallen nature. We remember Thomas, doubting Thomas. They call him the doubter, because he tend to have that doubting issue. And I think sometimes we do as well. But there was that time when he says, I won't, unless I touch him, unless I put my hands in his side, put my hands in the scars in his hands, unless I touch him and see him, I'm not going to believe. You guys have gone mad, in essence, he's telling his friends. Isn't that right? But then, when Jesus appears in the midst, Jesus tells him, look, Thomas, put your hand in my side. Feel it. Touch my hands. Look at them. And the Bible says that Thomas falls to his knees there, and he says, my Lord and my God. But Jesus responded with an interesting statement. Because, like Pedro is bringing out here, you see, the disciples being with Jesus day in and day out, seeing those miracles, like Brother Jaime said in the beginning of the lesson, I mean, they saw a demoniac full of thousands of demons delivered. They saw the sick being healed, the dead being raised to life. These stories are spreading all around about Jesus. And yet, even they, in their unbelief, would make statements like Thomas is saying. All to say this, Jesus responded to Thomas and said, blessed are those that have not seen and believe. And that's me and you. We've never seen Jesus, I don't think, you know. But we believe in him by faith. Amen? And he wants to help us to have faith even in our day today. But it's going to happen, as Brother Gary brought out, how that when we get to know Jesus, and we are learning of him through our classes in Sunday school, or as we listen to the radio of good scriptural teaching, we're reading our Bibles, we're reading the daily Bible readings as Brother Jaime gave us. We begin to learn who God is, don't we? And the more we know who God is, that begins to develop a stronger faith to believe God to move in our situations. The more we know him, the greater our faith will be and get. Amen. But the less we know him, then how are we going to know he's going to really help us? And so sometimes he'll put us through times of trial. And God doesn't find delight in looking at you go through trials or me. But sometimes he'll allow us to go through those trials for us to develop faith in the midst of those trials. Amen? It's really not for him as much as it is for us. But when we see him answer our prayers, we see him come through, we see him deliver, we see him heal us, we begin to see God is who he says he is, and it's developing that faith to believe that God, what he did for this woman with the issue of blood, he can do for me. Amen? What he did for Jairus, or however you want to say his name, he can do it for me. But even look at this verse. I know as Brother Hyman was saying it, I circled it in my Bible in chapter 8, verse 50, just to bring out and reiterate what we've been talking about. You see, all of a sudden, you can imagine, as Brother Gary even said, there they were, and all of a sudden, there's this statement that says, don't trouble the master anymore, she's dead. I mean, he's human. That's his 12-year-old daughter. I mean, he has hopes and dreams for his daughter. You know, and all of a sudden, she's dead. I mean, you know it tore at his heart. You know that all of a sudden, he's probably, his heart sank. You can only imagine how he felt at that moment. And I'm sure Jesus saw that despair.
And whenever we're in those situations, Jesus sees where we are, doesn't he? Because we, being human, will get discouraged. We will get sad when all of a sudden we get a bad report or bad news. Amen? And we're like, oh, you know, and Jesus sees it. But look how Jesus responds in verse 50. He says, but when Jesus heard it, it's the same statement. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master. It says, Jesus heard it. He answered him. So he turned to Jairus and he looked at him. And I'm sure he saw the despair. I'm sure he saw the unbelief. I'm sure he saw the discouragement there. And he tells him, don't be afraid. Don't you love that? It's an impossible situation, as we've been studying over the past few weeks. It's impossible. He says, don't be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. And this gentleman is the one, you know, that would eventually say, help my unbelief. Amen? As the other gospel accounts would render it. But he says, don't be afraid, she will be made well. And they begin to go, and like we saw in the lesson today, he put out the unbelieving, amen, all those mourners. You know, when the scripture says that, he said, don't worry, she's asleep, she's not dead, they began to laugh at him. If you have a King James version, it says they laughed him to scorn. That means they laughed at him in such a way that he hurt. It's like, what's wrong with you? They're laughing, like mocking, they're laughing with intention to hurt him. They laughed him to scorn. That was the unbelief in that atmosphere. But Jesus put them all out, didn't he? You know, and it's the reality is more miracles and more will take place when there is faith in the room. And he put out the unbelieving. He put them out and he let the mother and the father and the three, Peter, James, and John, come in with him. I wonder why just Peter, James, and John. You ever thought about that? They must have had some kind of faith. I mean, they were the inner core of the disciples. They're the ones that were allowed to experience some things that the others weren't allowed to experience. Remember when Jesus climbed the mountain and was transfigured before them? Remember the glory was there and he was on that Mount of Transfiguration. Again, the only ones that were allowed to go and see that amazing miracle or that amazing sight were Peter, James, and John. There was something about their faith. They were intimate with Jesus, maybe in a way that the others weren't. And they had faith. Look, we've seen enough. We know that he's going to raise this girl. But I love how he just raises her up, puts his hand in her hand and says, girl, arise. Amen. And all of a sudden it says her spirit returned. You know, those that were there when they were laughing at Jesus and even hurting him with their kind of laughing, they knew that this little girl was dead. She wasn't breathing. She had died. But can you imagine what it was like for her spirit to return back into that dead body? I mean, I'm sure she maybe gasped for air or she began to breathe as he lifted her up. And Jesus is so practical, isn't he? I mean, this girl was sick. I mean, remember, Jairus went to Jesus because of the fact that this little girl had been sick for a while. She was sick and dying. But I love how it says there at the latter part of verse 55, it says, and he told them to give her food. Jesus was very practical. I mean, her little body had probably been missing some nutrients, right? She needed some good old-fashioned food. And he was practical and told his parents, look, give her some food to eat. And her parents, it says, were astonished. And he commanded them to tell no one what had happened. Now, obviously, you can't keep a secret like that hidden too well, right? But they gave her food. But who better to see this miracle than her parents? Amen. Remember, Jairus was a leader of the Jews. He was one of the people that believed in Jesus, that was of the Pharisees. He was a leader of the synagogue. He was a very influential man. And even though it may not have been a public display as was done with the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus knows how to meet us where we are. Amen. You know, some of us can be ministered to publicly. Some of us, like, you know, don't want to be ministered publicly. We like to be ministered to in private. But be that as it may, Jesus knows how to minister to each and every one of our hearts. Amen. And so thank God for these stories. His compassion for individuals is displayed here in an amazing way. Jesus doesn't forget the individual. Amen?
I mean, this woman was all by herself in her struggle. I mean, like the Gospel of Mark brought out that Brother Gary highlighted. I mean, she had been hurt. I mean, they tried and they've retried. The doctors did all that they could to no avail. Instead, she was worse. But in her loneliness, Jesus ministered to her and healed her even in a public way. And it would bring restoration to her own situation. People would, you know, like as Brother Hyman was bringing out in the lesson, someone with an issue of blood like she had would have been a woman who was considered unclean all the time. You know, the issue of blood, this that she had, was a continual issue. It was a continual flow for a long time. They couldn't get it stopped. You know, it wasn't like the woman's monthly thing that goes on. You know, a woman during the time of her period would be regarded as unclean. And so imagine this girl who had a continual issue was regarded as an unclean woman. But Jesus was not afraid to show, look, to this woman that is unclean, that is now cleansed, let everyone see that if God can cleanse this unclean woman in public, he can clean anybody up. Amen? Aren't you thankful he can do that? Go ahead.
It says, the problem left her as a social outcast.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
Hurting and desperate.
Yeah.
You know, and as we relate this as to being compassionate, you know, there's a lot of people that are in this situation today.
Definitely.
Social outcasts, you know, they're alone.
Mm-hmm.
They're hurting and, you know, they're desperate. They don't know what to do.
Exactly.
So, you know, we've got to do as Jesus did, is try to minister to these people, help them.
Exactly. In the best way we can, right? I mean, maybe you've heard of people here in Center Colorado who no one else visits or no one else helps out, you know, if they're in need. You know, it's in our best interest as we pray for the leading of the Lord. Lord, how can I be or how can I minister to that individual? Amen. And God will give you wisdom on how to do it. You know, God wants us to be just like Jesus, really. Amen. To be compassionate to the outcast. She was an outcast, but Jesus healed this woman. Amen. And thank God she had faith. She had heard the stories about Jesus and she knew, look, if Jesus will do it for them, he'll do it for me. Aren't you thankful that Jesus doesn't play favorites? Thank God that he's not that way. And so thank God for this lesson today. He is a healer and life giver. He healed that woman. He gave life to this little girl. And you know what? Even though there's a lot of contrast, one public, one private, right? A social outcast or a loved daughter. You know, there's a lot of different things about it. But either way, his compassion extends to whosoever would come to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. So thank God for that. And so we'll continue with this vein of teaching next Sunday. And so let's go ahead and say a prayer. And let's ask the Lord to help us even to see the needs of those around us. And whenever there are those needs, to give us that heart of compassion. His compassion. Amen? Not human compassion. You know, human compassion can get you in trouble. We want to pray for good, godly compassion. To know how to minister to the people the appropriate way. We will make mistakes. But as we learn and God teaches us, God help us to be compassionate with your heart. Amen? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be compassionate even as Jesus was and is. We ask, Lord, that you would truly take, Lord God, what we have learned today through these two stories and individuals, that, Lord, you would help us to see, Lord, that you are very compassionate and that, Lord, you know the needs of people. Lord, this woman may have thought that you wouldn't have known and, Lord, she would have just secretly praised you. But Lord, instead you knew, Lord, that she had faith and Lord, she had pressed through the crowd and through that, Lord, she was healed physically. But Lord, it became a public display for others to see. For Lord, you, Lord God, find glory. Lord God, it's your name that is lifted high, Lord, when you are moving in our lives. And so we ask that you would help us to be compassionate just like Jesus was and is. Lord, I pray that you'd give us eyes that see, Lord God, even here in Center Colorado or in our communities, wherever we are from, to see the needs of those around us and help us to have your heart of compassion towards them. If there's something that we can do, Lord, if there's something that we can pray for, if there's something we can talk to them about, If there's something that we can meet in regards to their needs, help us to do so. Give us wisdom. Lead our steps. Lord, I pray against, Lord God, the condemnation of the devil that would try to lie to us and say we're not doing enough, or would say that we should be doing more when, Lord, we're waiting for your leading. Lord, we ask that you would give us your peace. Lord, as you told us in the book of Colossians, Lord, it's your peace that rules, Lord God, in our heart, or is the umpire that calls the shots. Help us to move in your peace, we pray. And so we ask that you would use this lesson, reminding us again of your healing power and life-giving ability. And I pray that, Lord, for those that are in need around us, that we would point them to the one that can do this for them. And so be with us the remainder of our time together. We thank you for all that we have learned today. Lord, I pray for Brother Hyman that you would bless him for taking the class today. And I pray that you would bless him, Lord, even shield him from any lies of the enemy, any discouraging thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to him, Lord, that he's doing a good job. Speak to him and bless his day, his family as well. And Lord, we thank you. Be with us the remainder of our time together in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.